Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The 49ers and the Steelers reportedly have a verbal agreement in place to send Brandon Ayuk to Pittsburgh. Not all the details are finalized, according to the report, but Ayuk is expected to go to Pittsburgh. I'll discuss that and more next on the Grant Cohn Show. Welcome to the Grant Cohn Show. I'm Grant Cohn, and we're doing it again. The report, not my report, Andrew Filippone says there is a verbal agreement between the 49ers and the Steelers. They have not agreed on a trade package. They're working it out, but he's eventually going to go to the Steelers. And if you don't believe Andrew Filippone, like, why? I don't know him. Maybe he's not the guy. Then believe Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero, or whoever, with NFL Network. Those two say that they expect Ayuk eventually will go to the Steelers, which is interesting. It seems like now it's more of like an inevitability, and the person who's going to get credit for the scoop is the person who gets the timing right. So now it's not really about if he's going to go to the Steelers. It's about when he's going to go to the Steelers and what the Niners will get back. So I want to talk about this at length today in a lot of different ways. Let's start about the story from a journalistic perspective. It's one of the more interesting scoops I've ever seen. Just a week ago, you had the big guys, Ian Rappaport, Schefter, the local guys, saying, you know, it's looking like Niners and Brandon Ayuk are going to probably get this deal done. And then some freaking guy with the dog avatar, Ricky, says, no. He's getting traded. No, he's getting traded. And all these, Schefter, Rappaport, what? What are you talking about? Colin Cowherd said, watch out for a new deal. So all of this anonymous person says, no, he's getting traded. When everyone thought it was trending towards a resolution to keep him in SF. He was holding in. He showed up. He embraced the coach. He's coming back. No, this guy said he's getting traded. And then this is when things got interesting. Matt Maiocco went to the Hall of Fame for Patrick Willis induction. When he's at the Hall of Fame, he writes an article, an opinion piece, saying, you know, now that I've thought about it, I actually think the Niners could trade Brandon Ayuk if they get a player in return. You remember that article, right? It was just an opinion. And he mentioned Cleveland and New England specifically, and mentioned Amari Cooper and Kendrick Bourne specifically. This was just Matt's brainstorm. That's how he wrote it. Wrote it from Canton. Who else was in Canton? I don't know. You tell me. So he writes this column, and this anonymous Dog Avatar dude on Twitter, Ricky, takes it a step further and says, no, it's the Steelers. He's getting traded to the Steelers. Cam Marino, some kid who writes for NFLDraftBuzz.com, says, yeah, it's the Steelers. It's the Steelers. It's definitely going to be the Steelers. And at this point, really, like, the national guys hadn't talked about it. The top local guy says, it would make sense to me if they traded him to Cleveland or New England. So all of a sudden, there's reports. It was a couple of days ago. We did this together live. Oh, my God, it's the Steelers. And now all these newsbreakers, local and national, have to say something. Because they didn't know about this. They didn't. I mean, they've been 4 days behind this guy, Ricky, for the entire time. So what happens? Okay, Mayoko first. He says, instead of it being his idea to trade Ayuk to Cleveland or New England, all of a sudden now he has sources saying that the Niners have deals in place with those two teams. For the package that he was floating a few days ago, Manny's just that smart. He predicted it. And that's true. So all of a sudden, Ricky, throwing these things out, you could say he's guessing or whatever, who knows, is forcing Big J journalists to call people up, change their story. So all of a sudden, Matt went from, here's a dope idea I have, to, oh, actually, these deals are in place. Who knew? But what he wrote in that article is the Steelers are not an option, essentially not an option anymore. Like, Ricky's wrong. Yeah, there's some news. I'm breaking it. But what Ricky said and what Cam Marino said about it being the Steelers, they're not even an option. And Ricky just stands firm. He's going to Pittsburgh. And we're trying to believe, we're supposed to believe that the Niners have a choice here. That New England's in play when Ayuk already nixed them before the draft. Or that Cleveland's in play when their quarterback is the biggest creep in the NFL and no one would want to play with him. I mean, would you want to play with? No. They're not an option. So Ricky stands firm, and then you see all these national journalists now sort of like slowly being like, well, the situation's fluid. Hey, you know what? You know what? When Ricky said the Steelers were involved, they weren't. But now it's been 3 hours, and you know what? They're back on the phone with the... It's the funniest thing. Ricky was wrong, but things have changed, and what he said ended up being right, but he's just guessing. I don't even know who he is. He has no inside information. I'm the newsbreaker, and now... They're back. It's like, so now it's a bunch of people who make a ton of money because they break news that's just fed to them, competing for who can say when this happens. Oh, it happened now. It's like, nah, Ricky had this days ago, man. He's going to Pittsburgh unless Washington or some team that Brandon's actually interested in comes in at the 11th hour and makes a better offer, which isn't going to happen. We saw today that Brandon Ayuk's agent, also John Lynch's agent, was at the Raiders practice facility just because. The problem with the Niners, we're going to talk about this in a minute, but the Niners have nothing. They're trying to get the Steelers to bid against themselves. Obviously, they want the Steelers to up their offer because it's going to be a terrible trade and the Niners are going to look stupid and they're going to lose. It's going to look awful and you're going to hate it. You're going to hate it when this happens. So they're trying to get the Steelers up their offer, but why would the Steelers budge when they're bidding against no one else? It's them or them. So Ayuk's agent, also Lynch's agent, goes to the Raiders. And what's he going to say to Tom Telesco? Like, hey, man, would you please trade Davante Adams to the Raiders to the Niners for Brandon Ayuk, please? And he's going to be like, how about no? So he could try. It's clear the Niners are trying to get a second team interested, involved, so they can get Pittsburgh to up their offer. But okay, so like the Niners could wait a few more weeks, whatever, it doesn't matter. As long as it takes, the Pittsburgh's eventually going to get Brandon Ayuk. It seems pretty clear. And this was the report that came out in April during the owners' meetings. Was that March? There was a report that came out then. Someone said it it might have been Tomlin. Off the record, I don't know. Yeah, I'm pretty confident we're going to get Ayuk sooner or later. Because they're bidding against no one else. The Niners are trying to get a second team. Oh, New England's interested. They're not viable. Cleveland's interested. They're not viable. Maybe the Niners thought that Ayuk would want to go to Cleveland. They won 11 games last year. Deshaun Watson used to be good 5 years ago. Like, why not Cleveland? Because it's Cleveland, man. Hell no. But they're better than Pittsburgh. No, Pittsburgh's a good organization. Cleveland's the worst organization. No, I'm not going to Cleveland. Okay, well, what about the Raiders? Well, the Raiders aren't making an offer. So it's a very interesting story. I'm just trying to look at it journalistically. It's the NFL. You can't have random dude with a dog avatar scooping Adam Schefter and Ian Rapoport and Matt Maiocco. Can't happen. So when it happens, all of a sudden you see all these people trying to talk about timelines and, oh, you actually know he's wrong. He's guessing. I know. But it is going to be official soon, and I'll let you know. And then I'll take credit for the scoop. No. I think this is really cool. I think we should all be rooting for more people like Ricky to pop up and beat. Because do you really think Adam Schefter is just grinding on the phone every day and just getting these scoops where people give it to him? Doesn't it feel like a rigged system in the NFL where two people are entrusted to break every freaking story? Screw that. Let's get some guy with a dog avatar to beat him by 4 days. I think that's great. The NFL is way too controlling over everything. It's so controlling over the news that gets out and the messaging that fans, I think some players actually think the games are scripted. The league is scripted. That's a running joke for years. Oh, did you check the script this year? That's how controlling the league is over everything. Ricky is not part of the script. That's why we love this so much. He was not supposed to do this. He's been saying stuff that is not supposed to get out days before it was kosher. I wish this would happen more often, man. We need more. I got to get Ricky on the show. Do you guys want me to interview Ricky one day? Do you think Ricky would come on the show? Could we learn where he came from, where he went to school, when he realized he wanted to be an NFL insider, and when he knew that he could be the best? I want to know. Maybe you don't. I certainly do. Anyway, let's take some super chats. Joseph Stockbridge Grant, as a man in my 30s, me too, without the time or energy for an hour workout at the gym, me neither. I have a suggestion if you feel the same. Smoove and Leo Moves on YouTube. They'll help us. They'll help keep us lean, mean, and limber. I'll have to check it out. Smoove and Leo Moves. Kristen Ayala says, hey, Grant, who do we even get from the Steelers? Not a first-round pick. Maybe James Daniels, the right guard that they don't even want anymore. It's not going to be anything you like, Kristen. Christian. Sorry, I said you, Kristen. Christian, it's not going to be anything you like. Michael says, are the Niners still an option for BA play on his fifth year? I don't think so. Again, we heard from the NFL Network, they expect Ayuk eventually is going to go to the Steelers. It seems also like the Niners don't want Ayuk anymore. Has anyone else gotten that vibe? I don't think they want him anymore. From the coach to the players, I think they're like, you know what, buddy? We're better without you. We don't want this distraction. You are no longer part of our team. I'll talk about that in a minute. Maybe you guys disagree, but let's talk about how the 49ers botched the entire Brandon Ayuk situation. It's looking like they're going to trade him to the Steelers eventually for a second round pick and a player maybe. That sucks. It's unacceptable. What they should have done was trade him before the draft, because it's been reported by Ricky that they could have had a first-round pick if they traded Ayuk to the Steelers before the draft. First-round pick was reportedly on the table. If the Niners had pulled off that trade, they could have had Troy Fatanu, the guard/tackle who went to Washington. Instead, they're going to maybe trade for a second and James Daniels, who's not as good as Troy Fatanu, getting replaced by Troy Fatanu. So you botched that one. I mean, he was worth more in a trade before the draft. Like, you don't have to be super smart to figure that out. Everyone knows if you want to trade a player at his peak value, it's before the draft. After, his value goes down. And the Niners are like, what? It's like shocked Pikachu face. What? Oh, we can't get that first round pick anymore? What? Yeah, you can't. Sorry. So if you wanted to trade him, it had to happen before the draft. Waiting until now didn't help the team. In fact, it hurt it. And if anyone disagrees with me, I'd love to hear the explanation as to how it helped them to trade him in August as opposed to April. But let's talk about, hey, maybe they wanted to sign him. And it just went sideways. So if they wanted to sign him, why didn't it work out? Well, they made him an offer in April, in May. And they haven't increased it since. And it wasn't big enough. But the Niners have created a pattern here with these extensions, right? They make an offer in April or May, and then they make a second offer that's bigger in July or August. They've done it 4 years in a row. Kittle, Warner, Deebo, Bosa. They make an initial offer. They insult the player. They let 2 or 3 months go by. They make a bigger offer when camp starts. They do it every time, right? It's a pattern. It's their game plan. You can see it coming a mile away. So if you're Brandon Ayuk or his agent from their perspective, how can you accept the first offer in April or May? Whatever it is, how can you say yes when you don't know, but you expect that a counter better offer is coming in July or August because that's how they've done it 4 years in a row? You'd be an idiot to take their first offer, right? Everyone knows that they come back over the top in August or in July and August. Everyone knows that. So they make a low ball offer, 25. I takes it personally, but at the same time, he's probably thinking, all right, well, I'll sort of do what Deebo did. I'll voice my displeasure. I'll get the fans on my side. I'll come back. Give me another offer in July or August. And they didn't. Ayuk was the one guy. They're like, no, you know what? No counter offer. No second offer. We're done with you. Why? That's so strange. From Ayuk's perspective, he probably was expecting a counter offer as soon as he came back and held in and he didn't get it. And he's thinking, well, Deebo got one. Kittle got one. Warner got one. Bosa got one. Why not me? And I get that. And it's like, okay, you're not going to make me a second offer? Then I want out. I'm gone. I don't want to be here anymore. Like, you want me to play on the fifth-year option for real? For real? For real, for real? For real, for real. You want me to play on the fifth-year option? Like, absolutely not. And I think what's interesting about this is the Niners really thought they had leverage because the NFL used to be a not a players' league, but it's becoming a players' league. The highest paid players are becoming like basketball players. They have ultimate power and they can name the team they want to play for. The Niners didn't understand that. They thought they could get Brandon Ayuk to bend to their will. They were wrong. They were wrong. And more players are going to do what Brandon Ayuk just did in the future. So they could have traded him before the draft for a first-round pick, taking an offensive lineman who could be a guard this year and a tackle in the future. Now they get a second-round pick at best and a player on an expiring deal. That sucks. You're going to hate that. And that's why they won't announce it yet, because it's embarrassing. Once this is official, it's going to be freaking embarrassing. And I have a question. I'm not done. Okay, so a big reason the Niners, this happened, is because the Niners' philosophy is to take hell along with contract negotiations and insult the player off the bat. Maybe that used to be a good strategy once upon a time back in the day, but how has that helped them in the last 5 years? They did it with Kittle. Did they save money by busting Kittle's chops? Did they save money off of that? No. They made Kittle the highest paid tight end in the league at the time. Then they did it the next year with Fred Warner. Did they save money with Fred Warner? No, they paid him almost $20 million. Just waited. Then Deebo Samuel comes along. Did they save money with Deebo Samuel? No. They didn't make him one of the highest paid wide receivers in the league. Then they did it with Nick Bosa. Did they save money with Nick Bosa? No. No, he got every penny that he wanted. He's the highest paid non-quarterback ever. Then they do it with Brandon Ayuk. And not only do they not save money, he became more expensive as they waited. Cost them money. So they might want to think about updating their strategy, bringing we're in the 20s now. Update the strategy. Just waiting for the sake of waiting doesn't help the team. And I think one thing is interesting. So like we're hearing now that the Niners and the Steelers are in talks. It's reported everywhere. I'm at practice. John Lynch is out there watching practice. Dude, what are you doing? Do you not do the trade talks? Is that not your job? Shouldn't you be inside? Don't you have something to do? You can watch the film. Whose job is it to talk to the Steelers? Is it Parag's job? Is it Jed's job? I don't even... John, go inside, man. You're not a coach. You don't need to be here. Pretend like you're the one on the phone. Pretend like you're not just a face man. Just take out your cell phone and start talking into it. I've seen people, I do that when I'm uncomfortable in social situations. You know what I mean? I have social anxiety. Instead of just walking around or looking at the wall, you take out your phone, start talking to nobody. Gives you, it makes you feel like, you know, it makes people, oh, he knows someone. He's got a friend. He's not weird. He's not just talking into, he's not just a person talking to his hand. He's a, this guy knows people. That's probably an important, but could be his agent. Maybe he's famous. That's what they think. That's what I do. I don't even remember what I'm talking about. Oh, John Lynch. Yeah, like, you're standing out here enjoying practice. Like, when this goes through, do you understand how bad you're going to look? Kyle can be like, I just coached the team. Yeah. Sure you do. Hmm? Michael, that's not Michael. Micklin Alvarez says the Niners' negotiation tactic was bound to bite them in the ass at some point. They're not getting anything greater in a trade. Yeah, just waiting for the sake of waiting has really hurt them this year. Geo Dude says Darnell Washington, 6'7", 265, tight end for Ayuk. Sure. And a pick. And a second. I like that. Niners are bad at draft anyway. I'd take a second and a third. Says Gene J. Brother Bob says, GM head coach OC Kyle Levy is the problem. Achilles, still no Super Bowl. Thank you, Brother Bob. Mark Silas's spreadsheet will say is a brilliant move. That's the other thing I want to... Coming back to the journalistic arc and how it's being covered, that's what I'm waiting for. When this goes down and you want to freaking vomit because the Niners just traded their best wide receiver since T.O. for a second-round pick and a guy in an expiring contract, you're gonna want to see what Lombardi has to say. Because it's not just he'll be like, you know what? It wasn't the best move for the Niners, but they got a good batting average. He'll be like, no. Like, this is the best move of the year in any sport. This is the number one move. And when we look back in 10 years, historians will do textbooks. We will have documentaries about how genius this entire process was, because it was a triumph of leverage and optionality. Two words he uses all the time, which he doesn't seem to understand what they mean. I can't wait for it. Are you guys excited for that? I am. I know I am. Brother Bob says not drafting OT in the first gave Trent all the leverage. We're not even talking about Trent. He's a much bigger deal than Ayuk, and yet Ayuk is the topic du jour. That means of the day in French. Mac Daddy 0149 says, what if they flip it around last minute and the Niners re-sign him? Does it look like it's trending that direction? Does it look like the Niners and Ayuk are just having a little fight and they'll like kiss and make up? Or does it look like they're already divorced and they're just sort of on different sides of the house waiting until one person gets an apartment or moves to the other side of the freaking country? I mean, I don't know any better than you, really. Jerry Baker says, spoiler alert, Pretty Ricky is BA's burner. Wouldn't that be so funny? Why is he so confident? Because I am Brandon Ayuk. Dun, dun, dun. Lamont, 757, says, when we don't make the playoffs, do this, who gets fired? I say Parag. Well, that's not enough. If they don't make the playoffs? At what point do you hold the head coach accountable for underperforming with a good roster? Spread says, this whole situation is the most Niner thing ever. It is, right? The Niners always have the most drama, which is why they're so much fun to cover. Okay, let's talk about how the 49ers players feel about Brandon Ayuk leaving. This has been interesting, right? Because players won't just come out and be like, yeah, hate him. Get him off the team. Like, it's all coded. How you feel about, oh, that's my brother. That's my brother. But Christian yesterday said, you know, anytime you have a former teammate, he really said that former teammate. He called him that on NFL Network. So that was him sort of saying, like, good riddance. Basically said, I care for Ayuk like I care for any other teammate, which is the lowest form of affection you can express for a teammate in football. It's probably what Montana would have said about Young. Yeah, you know, I like him like I liked all my teammates. But I... So yeah, former teammate, good riddance, Brandon, and your grievances. Then today, Deebo Samuel, who's just in the best mood all of a sudden. You guys notice that? Such a great mood. Today, I asked him about Juwan Jennings. Like, how much has Juwan improved this in the last year? He looks like he's having such a good camp. And he was like, Debo's smart. He's like, I wouldn't say that he's improved. I actually think he's the most consistent receiver on the team. I wouldn't say he's improved. I think he's the most consistent receiver on the team. Just like, oh, I thought that was supposed to be Brandon, right? Brandon's the route runner and the number one receiver. No, it's Jennings, according to Debo. So I thought that was a subtle jab at Brandon Ayuk, who took a lot of not-so-subtle jabs at a lot of players on the Niners this offseason. He's basically said Debo wasn't a wide receiver. He kept saying he's the best true wide receiver on the team, the only true wide receiver on the team. He said he had to take a back seat. Not only that, he essentially said that the reason the Niners didn't win the Super Bowl is because he didn't get the ball enough. Like, these other jokes on the team got all the touches, but I'm the best player, and if they had just stuck with what got him there, which was him apparently, him and his 9 catches in the postseason, we would have won. Who wants to be teammates with a guy like that? Think of it as like a basketball team. A starting 5. You know, it's Ayuk, Debo, Jennings, Kittle, McCaffrey. And Ayuk is the guy who takes the most shots on the team and still complains that he doesn't get enough opportunities. How do you think the other 4 guys feel about him? They're already sacrificing. And he tries to put himself above them? Now, easy to not like that guy. They say he's their brother, but sure, you could like Brandon. But do you want to be on his team? Do you want to get back at him for what he said? Do you remember what Juwan Jennings posted on social media less than a month ago? Remember, Brandon was starting to really ratchet up his rhetoric and how he felt and how important he thought he was to the team. And then Juwan Jennings posted on social media, on Instagram, he said, you got to be a different type of person to act like you do everything yourself, knowing dang well you not. And then, of course, a couple people were like, he's talking about Brandon Ayuk? Because, duh, obviously he is. And then he goes, I don't understand why people think I'm talking about football all the time. Like, yeah, uh-huh, sure. So I think we're kind of starting to see CMC, Debo, Jennings. A lot of people are like, oh, you think you're better than us, huh? Well, we don't need you. We're happy without you. Jennings is really good. Debo, look at it this way. Ayuk has a grievance. He wants more money and more targets, right? They all do. They all want that. He's the one that complains, but they all sacrifice. So if he's gone, if he goes to Pittsburgh and they trade him for picks or an offensive lineman, you think Debo's mad? You think Jennings is mad? With Ayuk on the team, Jennings gets about 30 targets a year. With him off the team, he could get 75. Jennings could get... Debo could get 120. Kittle could get 120. I think they've thought about it, and you're like, you know what? Enjoy Pittsburgh. I want more targets. You want more targets, Brandon? Go to Pittsburgh. I want more targets too, dude. And you know what? I'm better than you. You think Kittle thinks Ayuk's better than him? You think Debo thinks Ayuk's better than him? They all think they're better than Ayuk. They're all turned off by the way he tried to get his money this offseason. And I think they're all excited for the idea of his 110 targets being distributed amongst them. That's not going to Ricky Pearsall. It's not going to Chris Conley. It's going to Debo, Jennings, Kittle, and McCaffrey. Good news for them. More targets, more money, more glory. I think it's interesting to see the players be like, yeah, Brandon's great, man. Now, Bosa wasn't like that. Bosa was like, yeah, you know, he's a really good player, and I trust John and Kyle, but that'd be a tough guy to replace. That's interesting because Bosa isn't fighting for targets on offense. He got his money. He gets to play as much as he wants on defense, and he wants the offense to be good. But on offense, they have a whole problem. They don't have enough footballs to go around. I think you're seeing the offense kind of look around and practice, being like, I like this. I like this. I get the ball now. You know who caught two passes today? Kyle Juszczyk. Remember him? The weapon? Here's the thing. I make fun of Juszczyk a lot because they pay him and he don't use him. And it's like, man, you just get money to go in motion? That's crazy. But he's actually a good football player. And they pay him all this money. You might as well throw him the ball. He can run good routes and catch it. He was involved today. Honestly, the Niners have more than enough talent at the skill position at the skill positions on offense. Will losing Ayuk make them worse? Yes. Should they have traded him before the draft so they could get something to help him this year? Obviously. Is this one of the bigger botched jobs in franchise history? Yes, it's up there with the Trey Lance deal. Just a total botch. But it is interesting to see how, at this point, I think what would galvanize the team more is him leaving. He comes back after all this. Where does he stand with the team? How do they look at him? Is he divisive? Does he continue to complain? Are some guys on his side? Are most guys not with him? If he leaves, are people like, all right, cool, we're a team again. We got that malcontent out of here. Him and all his personal issues. Let's get back to sacrificing and doing what it takes to win a Super Bowl. That's what is going to bring this team together. Not bringing him back. That's what's so interesting about the whole situation, man. I don't think he can come back to this team. He has put himself above the whole team. This is what T.O. did 20 years ago. In a different way, with a different personality, in a much louder way. But once you put yourself over the team and you're the topic of conversation, you got to go. Unless you're the quarterback. Got to go. If he's here, even if he's suited up playing on the fifth-year option, the story every day is Brandon Ayuk happy? Well, how did Brandon Ayuk look in the locker room today? Brandon Ayuk walked through in the locker room and he was frowning. He was definitely frowning. He didn't talk to anyone today. He just walked through and that's news. Don't you hate that? But the thing about news is it's not what the media wants it to be. It's just is what it is. Brandon's on the team, fifth year option. His feelings are more important than anything that happens with the roster on the field. Oh, cool. They had practice today. They had interviews. So-and-so talked about football. So-and-so said, what did Brandon look like? Was Brandon there? Yeah. But I mean, Ronnie Bell and there was Renardo Green and all these people did great things. And there's these players, all these great stories. Yeah. But what about Brandon's feelings? And then every press conference, hey, have you talked to Brandon? How's Brandon doing? It's been a few weeks. Has he kind of changed? Has he changed his feelings? How's Brandon? Wasn't that why the Niners got rid of Trey last year? It's like, hey, man, he's just a distraction. You know, every time Grant streams, he's talking about the backup quarterback competition. We want the focus to be on the starters. You got to go, Trey, sorry. It's like the focus was still on the field. It wasn't like now. It was just focused on the backups. Now the focus is on who's here. Is he here? He wasn't there today. Players hate that shit. I'll tell you right now. They're not going to be in the NFL that long. If they have a good game, if they have a good practice, if they make a good play, they want recognition. They want it to be about them for a change, man. George Odom picked off two passes today. Today's his day. He wants it. How many days has George Odom had where it's George Odom day in NFL world? None. Every day is Brandon Ayuk day. And I think if the Niners win a game week one and Ayuk's there and he's still holding in or he played and he didn't get that many catches and that's the story that overshadows the win, a lot of players are going to be mad about that. Hey, can it be about football now? Hey, we're trying to win a Super Bowl here. Hey, we're a team. Hey, it's not all about him. So, yeah, I mean, he's not coming back. And, you know, I do think he pissed off the players and the coaches when he came out last week and dapped up John and Kyle. Like, dude, why are you making this about you? So now the story today is Brandon Ayuk walked on the field and gave Kyle a hug, but he didn't give John a hug. What did that mean? What did that mean? As opposed to D Winters was great. Let's talk. Let's have a day for D. It's freaking training camp. And Brandon Ayuk's a superstar. It'll be about him every day, every week on whatever team he's on. That'll be his week. Can we talk about freaking Renardo Green today or George Odom or D Winters or Malik Collins? No, because you showed up. Since then, he showed up one more time, sat in the corner and tried to hide, did nothing, and then hasn't been out there since. I don't think they can tell him what to do, but at the same time, I think they really don't want him to be there. Because he shouldn't be there. He should be in Pittsburgh. He should have been in Pittsburgh in April. And I can't wait to hear how the Niners benefited from waiting. Let's do some sleeper picks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And then we'll get back to training camp. We'll talk about the other players. I'll stop being a hypocrite and doing every show about Brandon Ayuk, even though I say that he takes too much bandwidth and attention from other players. I'm a hypocrite, right? But I'm a good singer. Freestyle R&B singer. There aren't many, but I'm one in my free time. Okay. Sleeper picks. And you know what we got NFL picks, baby. Yes. We could do at WNBA. I've been having a lot of fun with that. Been winning a lot. 11 contests won. Did I win again? Oh my God, I won again. Look at me. Look. I'm getting good with baseball. Matt Chapman. Yup. Look at me. $200 I've won. I'm the best. Okay, let's make some picks football-wise. Now, I don't think they have Niners picks yet. And that's okay. It's okay. We'll save those. Let's just do the top ones. Kyler Murray. 235 passing yards. Week one in Buffalo. This is interesting. Buffalo's a good team. But Kyler is a good quarterback. And the Cardinals have Marvin Harrison Jr. I think they're going to have a prolific passing offense this year. I'm going to go more. Derrick Henry, 71.5 rushing yards against Kansas City. That's a good defense they got in Kansas City, man. They kind of shut down Christian McCaffrey. 71.5 for Derrick Henry. I'm going to go more because I feel that the Ravens could have run on the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, but didn't. I mean, Gus Edwards averaged like what he was doing pretty. So I'm going to say more. Okay. CJ Stroud talking about franchise quarterbacks next. This is a guy who could be one. A guy that you could put on any bad team and they'd win. He did it last year as a freaking rookie. You put him on one of the worst teams in the league, took him to the freaking playoffs. CJ Stroud, 268.5 passing yards against Indy. 268.5 against Indy. You know I want that. Give me the more. Give me the more. Okay. Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, 211 passing yards at Atlanta week one. Well, that number's going up when they get Brandon Ayuk, 211. So I'm going to say more on that one, too, because he's going to have Ayuk. Assuming he even plays, it could be Justin Fields. I'm going to go with those. Three mores, Kyler Murray, Derrick Henry, CJ Stroud, Russell Wilson, 10 bucks with the flex to win 52. I'm submitting the entry. You guys want to play? Use promo code CONE, COHN, and get a deposit match up to $100 on your first deposit. So if you haven't downloaded the app, download it. Use promo code CONE. You put down 50. They put down 50. All of a sudden, your deposit's $100. And you could be making all kind of cash. So that's how that works. Okay. Glad I could explain that. I have a question. Is Brock Purdy a franchise quarterback? Before we get into yes or no, let's define it. I was an English major at UCL. You have to define your terms, otherwise you're arguing about different things. So a franchise quarterback to me, every team says their quarterback's a franchise quarterback, right? Detroit will say that Jared Goff's a franchise quarterback. Atlanta will say that Kirk Cousins is a franchise quarterback while they're drafting his replacement in Michael Penix, right? Miami says Tua's a franchise quarterback. They're not. Those are not franchise quarterbacks. Those are overpaid good quarterbacks. Dak Prescott. Is Dak Prescott a franchise quarterback or a very good quarterback who gets paid like a franchise, who cosplays as a franchise quarterback, but really needs a good supporting cast? And even if he has one, isn't going to win a Super Bowl. That's Dak. So a franchise quarterback is a guy that you could literally dump on any team and feel like they're going to do well. That team's going to at least have a winning record. And when you define it that way, because those are the ones that are actually worth $60 million a year, Kirk isn't. Dak isn't, Tua isn't, Goff isn't, we know that. How many quarterbacks actually fit that description? Put them on any team and they'll win. Not many. Mahomes, Josh Allen. I'm going to say Lamar. He does have a ceiling, but his floor is so high because of the running, I have a hard time seeing him losing on any team. I mean, it's not like he has weapons anyway. Last year, his running backs were nobody, and his receivers were nobody and a rookie. He had a good tight end. So Lamar, Stroud, maybe? It's four? You can't say Herbert because he's not winning on his team right now. Maybe Burrow? Maybe. And then the last guy who's interesting is Stafford because he was on the Lions for a long time, didn't do a lot of winning, but when he, and God, he can do some dumb stuff during games. Like, he'll throw some picks that are like, but at the same time, he'll have stretches where you feel like he's as good as any quarterback in the league. Stafford is streaky. But otherwise, those are your franchise quarterbacks, not even Aaron Rodgers anymore. Those are the guys you feel like, all right, man, well, if we got to pay you $50 million a year and gut something from our team, we'll be okay. Because when you have a quarterback making that much, you can't afford to pay a running back or a wide receiver or more than one good player on defense, really. Like, what you can do is have an offensive line and maybe a couple good players on defense, and that's your team. And hope like, well, we got a great quarterback, so as long as we just keep him healthy, we'll be okay. And have a defense, maybe. But like, we can't actually go and spend on a wide receiver. And that's okay. Like, that's the right way to build a team. The Chiefs just won back-to-back Super Bowls with that template. The Patriots won six Super Bowls with that template. Look, we got a great quarterback. We can't afford to spend on weapons. So we'll get a bunch of like decent weapons who are cheap and invest in our offensive line and have a good defense and special teams and a good coach. That's what we got. That's how you win with that kind of a quarterback. But he has to be good enough to succeed if you start taking weapons away. That's not Dak. It's not Kirk. Is it Brock? We don't know yet. To be honest, we have opinions. We haven't seen him without an all-star cast. If he gets paid $60 million a year, we will see him without an all-star cast. Eventually. Not only will Ayuk be gone, but Debo will be gone too. And McCaffrey will be gone too. And Kittle will retire. And it'll be him and Jennings and Pearsall and whoever else they draft. And then we'll see. He might be great. He might be the kind of guy who is Drew Brees with mobility. And he really can carry a team. And as long as he's healthy, they're winning no fewer than 11 games a year. But we got to see that. And I think that's why this year is so important, because they have to make a big decision next year and decide how much they really want to offer him. And you don't know. Can he pick up the slack and carry a team if guys are out? Like, that was today at practice. No Trent Williams, no Brandon Ayuk, no Christian McCaffrey. What does Purdy do? Two picks. That doesn't mean he's bad, but it's like, can you still move the ball? Can you still look special? Can you still show that you're a franchise quarterback? Or are you only a franchise quarterback in one system, with one team, with one supporting cast? Because that's okay. Like, he's perfect for the Niners now. He fits their salary structure. He knows their system. He can get the ball to the playmakers efficiently. He's perfect for them. But once he's making all that money, is he still perfect for them? It's a very specific structure with a lot of weapons. You'd like to get an extended look at him without those weapons. Because all we know right now is that he's definitely better than Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. Is he definitely better than Baker Mayfield? I don't know. We haven't seen Baker on this team. Is he definitely better than... who's some quarterback no one thinks is good? Derek Carr. I don't know. We haven't seen Derek Carr on this team. Probably. But these are things you want to know. What about Brock in like a regular situation? Because once he's making all that money, the situation will become regular. You'll have to sacrifice weapons or a defense. One of the two. And I think the best way to try to visualize how good a quarterback is try to put him on a different situation. The Niners situation is untenable. It's already getting... it's all, like, the financial window of the Niners is already closed. They're losing players left and right. So you put them on a team that's just normal, like Arizona. Are they better with Brock than with Kyler? Are they good with Brock? If you put them on the Giants, are they better with Brock than with Daniel Jones? Are they good with Brock? How much better are they with Brock Purdy than with Daniel Jones? How much better would the Titans be with Brock Purdy than with Will Levis? How much better would the Panthers be with Brock Purdy than with Bryce Young? I'm thinking not much better. Maybe better, but not good. Now, if you put Josh Allen on the Panthers, they'd be good. He'd be good. If you put CJ Stroud on the Raiders, they'd be good. He'd be good. If you put Brock Purdy on the Raiders, what would happen? We don't know. But that's why I feel like the interceptions in training camp matter, and what he does this season matters. He's not proven yet. All we know is he's an excellent quarterback for the 49ers right now. That's all we know about him. He's an excellent quarterback for the 49ers right now. But what if Christian McCaffrey's calf injury is serious and it lingers? Will he be winning without Christian? We've never seen him try. We'll find out. Take some supers. Get back to it. Dazza says, why in a Super Bowl year would the Niners want this much drama? What drama? Fred Warner just said that they're not even affected by it. What? Good question. Lamont 757 says, is Brock better than Danny Dimes realistically? I don't know. You're telling me if Danny Dimes was on the Niners, he wouldn't play well? How do you not play? The only way you don't play, Jimmy played well on the Niners. Jimmy played well on the Niners. He may not be in the NFL this year. He might wash out of the league now. Just 2 years ago, if he had stayed healthy, he would have gone deep into the playoffs with the Niners and Christian McCaffrey too. And he's not good. In fact, he's bad. And we all kind of knew it. Even while that was happening. Even though, while there was all that cognitive dissonance, you're like, no, Fugazi's not good. So if someone who is like washing out of the league 2 years after they leave the Niners is playing well and putting up good numbers on the team, then you got to wonder how many quarterbacks can do that. 20, 30, 40, 50. Like, what would Gardner Minshew look like on the Niners? What would Joe Flacco look like on the Niners? You know what I mean? I'm thinking 40 quarterbacks would have really good numbers on the Niners. Maybe not better than Brock, but it's a question. DeMarcus Jones says, will the Niners pick up Stephon Gilmore? What is he, 40? Is he older than me? I hope not. David E. says, it's now reported B.A. turned down $32 million a year from the Pats. This reminds me of A.B. level irritation. No, dude, like, it's more than just the money, right? If you put yourself in his shoes, you're trying, this is your prime. Money's important, but also where you go is important. The coach is important. I think a lot of people want to play for Mike Tomlin, and a lot of people feel that the Steelers are a premier organization. James Thompson says, what about trade for picks with Pitt, then trade picks to Oakland for Adams? Man, that's above my pay grade. I can't brainstorm what the Niners should do. I'm just trying to talk about what's going on. Cinema Pigeon says, when Debo CMC went out, Ayuk wilted, not top 10. Talk about the second half of the Browns game. Cinema Pigeon, has Ayuk ever single-handedly won the Niners game? No, he hasn't. Rome Gut Level says, media needs to hold Niners accountable. Sorry, it's soft. You know what's funny? When they win games, I try to say that I like to hold the Niners accountable, and I guess they like make fun of me. After games, here at the Levi's in the press conference, we'll be standing up, leaving our row to go downstairs, take the elevator. We'll be getting up, walking over, and you'll hear people be like, who's going to hold them accountable? And he'll be like, ha, 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 ha. Like, what a stupid idea. Whoever floated the notion that we're here to hold the Niners accountable, they're great. All we're here to do is chronicle greatness all the time. Who's going to hold them accountable this week? I don't know. Maybe you should take your job seriously. What is your job description? To come here and groove on the Niners' success? You're not a part of it. They did it without you. Just because you made a spreadsheet and said you were excited about them doesn't mean that you were... I'm quality control. Just ranting. Daz says Debo wasn't a distraction during his offseason rants. BA was never part of the Niners' clique. That's true. I'm not disputing that. The Niners have been inconsistent. From Brandon's perspective, how could you not make me a better offer in August or July? You did for everyone else. Why was I supposed to take the first offer? Debo didn't take the first offer. Kittle didn't take the first offer. Warner, Bosa, they didn't take your first offer. You upped your offer for all four guys. Why not me? Because I'm not friends with the coach. Yeah, essentially. Yeah, pretty much. Flav says, you think if BA signed early for $26 million and then found out he should have got more, he wouldn't throw a tantrum. Yeah, right. He'd be a cancer and pouting and you'd be stuck with him. But again, like, why would BA sign early? I just laid it out. You'd be stupid to take the Niners offer in May. They always up their offer in July. Why wouldn't you wait? If I were the agent, I'd say we should wait. The Niners have a pattern. And then it's like, if they want to say, well, you know what? We're not going to stick to that pattern for you. We're going to make you play in the fifth year option. Okay, then I'll go play. Then I want to play for Pittsburgh. Then I was like, you can't. Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, I can. You can keep me, but I'm going to make your life. You think you're going to make my life miserable? No. I'm going to make your life miserable. I'll keep coming out to practice until you trade me, man. He's winning the game of chicken, if it's not already over. Geo, dude, everything falls apart when Brock gets paid, and they know it. Flav says everyone is focused on this year, understandably, but shouldn't trading BA allow them to pick up someone next year? Still think they should trade Debo next year and have $50 million plus to get younger, revamp the team. We'll see. I don't think they're going to trade Debo. I think that's Kyle's guy. Kent says Brock will always have a great coach regardless. Maybe. David says, does this verbal agreement mean this is done? I'd like to chart all the several ways the Niners now rebuke Ayuk. It's not officially official. Remember, this is very important. They're trying to figure out who gets to have the scoop because this is big business. Manhattan John says, I know it's the main story, but do we really think we can't replace Ayuk's production? We should give BA the ultimatum and take care of Trent. That's what I said. I think the Niners feel like they absolutely can replace BA's production. Not with one player, but they all, every single weapon on the team already feels like they don't get enough targets. CMC, Juszczyk, Jennings, Kittle, Debo all feel like they're sacrificing. So this is an opportunity for all of them to get 20 more targets this year. And Jennings in particular could get 50 more targets this year. He's a hell of a player. The most consistent receiver on the team, according to Debo. All right, let's talk about not non-Ayuk Purdy things. Renardo Green was, well, George Odom was the MVP of practice today. He intercepted Brock two times, and I thought it was just, I'm going to stop talking about David in a minute, but I really wanted to see how he would write about Brock throwing two picks. So I went on Twitter, and I read it, and he just, I should have known, because I can think like David. It's just like, what is the opposite of how I think? I would actually hold Brock accountable. And what he did was praise George Odom. Praise George Odom. Well, it's great play. He's just having such a great camp. Yeah, man, this career special teams player who's 30 and finally getting his first shot to play safety is just too good. I mean, Brock's really got his hands full over here. Like, yeah, man, George Odom is really, yeah, he's fine. But these are like gift wrapped. So George Odom, nice. Renardo Green is in man-to-man coverage on NFL receivers. He's a rookie, and his problem right now is that his coverage is too tight. He had three PBUs today. Who does that? In one practice, not anyone else. He's so competitive. And on the final play, he got flagged for pass interference. Okay, maybe, judgment call. And maybe he'll get those calls early in his career because people are going to be like, who is this guy? Why is he so aggressive? And why is he so close to this great wide receiver? He must be cheating. But eventually people will be like, no, that's how Renardo Green plays. And I think he's going to be one of the big, if the Niners are better this year, it's going to be because he's good. Because last year they didn't have a third corner. They had Charvarius Ward, Diamondo Lenore, both good players, but whether it was Ambry outside or Isaiah Oliver inside or Logan freaking Ryan, like they were just terrible liabilities. Now you have a guy who he's like 6 feet tall. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. He's pretty fast. I haven't seen him intercept a pass yet. He didn't have a lot of interceptions in college, but it looks like he can trail a receiver in man-to-man coverage, get his head around, knock it down. And a variety of different routes. That's a huge addition to the freaking team. They need some youth. Some infusion of youth. I mean, they had it with Hufanga, but he's been hurt. Drake Jackson was supposed to be that player, but it ain't. Their defense is getting old. Bosa's still one of the youngest guys in the defense. Like, Leonard Floyd's almost 32. Hargrave is 31. Collins is 29. Warner's 28. Devondre Campbell's like, what, 30, 29. Charvarius Ward's 28. It's an older defense. You need some speed and some youth. And it hasn't been coming. I mean, Jair Brown is one. He's good. Renardo Green is good. So if the Niners defense is better, it's because they're going to have this faster, better secondary, mostly. He's a heck of a player. Keep your eye out for him. And then also another young player who's making this defense better and needs to start is D. Winters. He's playing with a ton of confidence. And a lot of times, defensive players in practice, when they go to make a tackle, they just tag the guy and get out of the way because they don't have much to prove. D. Winters is trying to show that he's a difference maker. And so he's really hitting players hard. Like, not tackling them, bringing them to the ground, but they call him thudding up. He thuds the hardest. He thuds quite hard. And he flexes on people. He talks trash. he seems like he's good. He knows it and everyone knows it. And I'm not saying he's better than Greenlaw, but the idea of Warner, Greenlaw, and Winters on the field together, I feel like that's a fast defense. Devondre Campbell, God bless you, man. You've had a nice career. Maybe you'll be useful to the Niners this year, but for my untrained eye, he looks a little slow. Like when there's a run to the outside, he's not going to get there. He'll be diving at a running back's ankles as opposed to D Winters, who will be breathing down his ear hole. I know I talk about D Winters every day, but he's a lot of fun to watch, and he looks way different than last year. It's interesting with these rookies. D Winters came in last year, and you're like, oh, man, you don't really look like you're an NFL player. You're like, look a little flabby. Not flabby, but like just not like a Greek god. And then he comes back year two, and I'm like, oh, my God, you're in phenomenal shape. And then you look at Tatum Bethune, similar player, similar build, linebacker, looks a little flabby right now, but he's making plays. I bet you if he's a serious player next year, he'll come back shredded and he'll be the talk of camp. So it's interesting to see young players sort of lock in. I remember when I locked in and became a bodybuilder, I was so shredded for a while, but now I'm not anymore, because I gave it up. But there was a time. When I look just like Leonard Floyd. It's true. I don't have any pictures from that time. It was brief. There's no actual evidence documented, but you can use your imagination what it looked like when I was 6'5", 240, shredded. I lost I shrunk a little bit. Now I'm 6'1". Not even 6'1". I call myself 6'1", but I'm 6'5". I feel like it's okay to round up, but also dishonest. But I feel like if I called myself 6 feet, I'd be shortchanging myself at that point. And if I call myself 6'1½", like that's a mouthful, and people would just be like, oh, I don't care. So I go 6'1". I say 175 too, but I really don't weigh myself enough to be honest about that one either. I was 175 a few weeks ago, felt good about it. I'm going with that for the rest of the year. Not weighing myself again. Just saying 175. Okay, let's talk about golf now. Golf's important. I played golf yesterday at Les Chabot Municipal Golf Course in Oakland. It's a tough one, guys, if you've been there. A lot of hills, man. A lot of lies where the ball's beneath your feet, or you know what I'm saying? A lot of what have yous. It really kicked my butt most of the time. Shot a 100 yesterday, though. Best score I've ever had at Chabot. I had a lot of shots I was proud of. I mean, let me tell you, I'm not that good. I've been playing since about April. I didn't lose a ball until the 13th hole. Proud of that. That's a first. I had 10 bogeys in 18 holes. Proud of that. That's a first. Two pars, and then the rest of the other six holes were just awful. I had an 11 on the final hole, par six. I lost two balls off the tee. It was really embarrassing and emasculating. But you got to remember, it's a game. You try to have fun as you're yelling, and you don't want to do that either. But had some good shots, man. I like my 3-wood because the driver, I feel like you're more likely to miss left and right, but I hit a 3-wood 280 yards. That's not an exaggeration. If you've been at Chabot, it's the 10th hole, it's a 290-yard par 4. So I'm thinking I don't need the driver here. Let me get the 3-wood out, smack it almost on the green, and then I bogeyed because I suck at putting so bad, but I'm practicing. Also had a 95-yard approach shot with a 50-degree wedge that I put 4 feet from the hole. I was super juiced about that. None of you guys care about this, but you're going to have to listen to it. What else did I do that was great? Oh, on the 7th hole, 275 yards uphill. I topped the ball with my 3-wood, just pulled my head off it like an idiot. Goes like, I don't know, 40 yards to the left. Get my hybrid out. Smash it onto the green, 200 yards. Yeah! That was dope. Super, so excited about that one. Anything else that was notable from that day? Not really. It all unravels for me at a certain point. Like, I'll be playing well, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing well. And then I have, okay, I lost my first ball in the 13th hole. Again, I top it with the 3-wood, take my head off it, want to hit it hard. It goes like 100 yards. And then I'm like 180 yards away from the green. It's uphill. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go 5-iron here. Maybe 175. I'm going to go 5-iron here. I don't want to go past the green. Because on the other side of the green are a bunch of goats in a yard that I can't get into. If you hit it into the goats, you're not getting your ball back. What did I do? I hit it into the goats. With my 5-iron uphill from 170. I was smoking that ball. And then I lost it because I was like, that's how I lose my first ball of the day, on a 5-iron up the hill that I smoked? Yeah. And then I walked over to the goats. I was like, goats, do you know which ball it is? And there were hundreds of balls in there. And they were like, Grant, we don't know which one it was. And if we did know, we don't have posable fingers, posable thumbs to pick it up. They said all of this. Goats can speak English. Have you ever talked to a goat? It's incredible. Goats are really friendly. And they think they can talk, right? They're like, hey, what's up? You speak English? That's crazy. So that was my day. Started at 4:40 because it's $18 if you're a member after Twilight. And I think the big reason I scored an 11, I had an 11 on the final hole, is because it was dark. I couldn't see. I think I probably hit my two tee shots right down the fairway. I just couldn't find them. So I had to take the penalties. But really, probably it was a hole in one. That's where the ball was. No one cares about my golf game, but you know what? You have to listen to it. That's the best thing about having a platform and playing golf, is you just have to force that shit on people, like fantasy football. Everyone's like, oh, I don't want to hear it. No, you have to. Yeah. Got to work on my putting, though. Okay, I'm done. I swear I'm done. Thank you for listening to me indulge about my freaking golf game. Okay, Lamont. How long after BA trade do you think we get news on Trent? LOL, is RP the new Jalen Hurd? Lemonade stand, huh? Oh, I want to talk about Trent Williams. I forgot about this, but no, I really want to talk about Trent Williams. I have a prediction to make. Here it is for dramatic effect. Bum, bum, bum. Prediction, Trent Williams. My prediction, and I base this on absolutely nothing other than intuition. This will be Trent Williams' final season in the NFL, 2024. It's the last one. This is it. I don't think he's super excited about playing football anymore. What's my evidence? He's not freaking here. I don't think he's dying to play anymore. I think he's about ready to hang it up. And instead of hanging it up right now, I think he wants some more money. What do you guys think? He could retire now, or he could come back for one more year and get $30 million. $30 million is nice, especially if you don't have to go to training camp or ever practice. Just play, and or even play all 17 games. Play 14, practice one day a week, $30 million. Oh yeah. That's called the golden parachute. Because he has a lot of money. We don't know if he saved it. How he spends, don't know. He could be in debt. We have no idea. Golden parachute time. That's my prediction. Last year in the league, wants one more paycheck, wants the Niners to give it to him. They better be careful, because if they give him a multi-year extension with guaranteed money this year and next year and the year after that, and he retires after this year, they are financially screwed. Salary cap hell. And you think he cares? I don't. It's his life. He's going to keep playing football if he doesn't want to. Got to be careful with Trent. I know it's like, give him whatever he wants. Oh my God, you got to have him on the team or else it's screwed. Yeah, sure. But at the same time, don't let him ruin your salary cap in 2025, 26, 27. Like, this team is this close to being in salary cap hell. This freaking close. And Trent could put him there. They got to be real careful. You wonder why this isn't done yet with Trent? Because they know this. They know how perilous this is. But yeah, this is my prediction, man. Last season for Trent. Trying to get as much money out of the Niners as he can before he hangs it up. Let's see if I'm right. Again, I base it on nothing. What's up with the chain, gold or silver, Grant? Oh, it's gold. Sorry, that was uncouth. That was definitely, and also, no one wants to see, yeah, that. David, spread my sheets, Lombardi says, hi, Grant, in the spirit of trade, I will stop charting Brock's picks if you give me that pristine Kia Stinger and a compensatory food review. He would take my Kia Stinger, right? God, getting one original idea, including food reviews. Moonman, I'm sick of Cinderella, time's up. Get out of here. Doesn't that feel like how the Niners feel? I think that's exactly how the Niners feel. Dude, it's so not about you. We're tired of you. Don't need you. Stephen Pryor says, I want to see a no holds barred live stream between you and Dave, moderated by Larry. Knuckle up. I proposed it to him last year. He said he'd think about it. I think he's scared. He's scared. Flav, is Ayuk unique at all? He does everything well, but not great, except block maybe the dorkiest skill of all skills. I don't know. I just don't think he's that special to you. I think he's a very good number two receiver, and those are worth $28 million a year. I think he's at least as good as DJ Moore. Right? So I don't, you could argue if he's a one, is he two, is he this, is he that. He's at least as good as DJ Moore, who just got $27.5 million. So it is what it is. Philip David Davies says, BA behind eight ball. If free, are you sure? If front office don't take offer, he has to play on fifth with risk of injury. And if he doesn't play, lack of production results in less pay. So yes, yes, the Niners could do that. Force play in the fifth year option. Really stick it to Brandon Ayuk. Maybe get him to cut off his nose despite his face. I mean, like all that, like, oh, you're going to hold out? Well, now you're hurting your career. Sure, but that distraction hurts the Niners. You're hurting each other. If there's no world where you just get to hurt Brandon Ayuk and he can't do anything back to you, like we're seeing it. This is a distraction that no team needs. So yeah, you could hurt Brandon Ayuk's career. He could hurt your season. I have a tough time seeing any team winning a Super Bowl with this shit hanging over them. Maybe it's just time to just separate. Separate and stop trying to win. Lamont 757 says, takes a goat to know a goat. Thank you. Watts Baby 03 says, it's funny how Kyle makes sure his friends get paid. Sure is funny. Lamont 757 says, is the Stinger turboed? What's done to the Sting? I mean, it's a GT2. So yeah, it's got 350 horsepower and all-wheel drive. I don't even know why I got all-wheel drive. My 14-year-old nephew asked me if it was rear-wheel drive or all-wheel drive. I said all-wheel drive, and he kind of frowned. I was like, why? Isn't that better? He was like, well, you can't drift with that. I was like, what's drifting? He was like, what's drifting? He was like 12. I was like, you don't even drive. He's like, what's drifting? If you have to ask, you'll never know. Shout out, Sam. I love you, Sam. The coach, I needs that recipe, bro. Here's a sweetener. You like that? You like that pasta, don't you? I think I gave you the recipe like 4 or 5 months ago and you never made it. It's cool. I can give it to you again. I can give it to you again. Talking about my mom's pasta sauce. I need to make the, I put the chicken cacciatora on YouTube. I did like the Yan Can Cook Chef Boyardee breakdown of the chicken cacciatora. Did anyone else watch Yan Can Cook on KQED when they were a kid? Because I love Yan Can Cook. He was great. And the Frugal Gourmet, but Yan Can Cook was better. Anyway, I got to put my mom's pasta sauce. I got to share it with the world because it's the best pasta sauce in the world. I don't give a damn. I put my mom's pasta sauce on mama's. On Grand C. Tuss. That's right. You don't even know what I'm talking about. That's the show. Thanks for watching. I don't know how many more shows I can say, report, there's a deal. It's like, well, this... Just give the scoop to Schefter already. It's done. No, the Niners are trying to save face, man. They're not eager for this to become official because you're not going to like the way it looks or how it makes you feel. But you know what? There's still lots to be thankful for in life, you know? Can we have a show only about the Stinger? Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for watching, everyone. I'll be back next time just talking about my car and golf.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.